Welcome to the Astrology Show with your host, Kelly Fox. Each week, Kelly will give you access to the current transits that are a valuable tool which provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has through our sun sign. Understanding the current planetary influences each week can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. Sometimes, events in your life may seem completely random, but there is a pattern to the order of these events, one set in motion in part by you and in part by the planets and stars in the sky and their influence on your life here on Earth. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, if you're going to get that promotion, move to a new city, or fall in love, tune in to the Astrology Show for guidance. It can help you anticipate problems before they occur, give you tools to cope with changes, and help you look forward to the wonderful days ahead. Kelly Fox is a professional astrologer and internet pioneer who launched Astrology.com, one of the first and most successful astrology websites. Today, her passion lies with her new site, TheAstrologer.com, where she brings a modern-day approach to an ancient wisdom. Please join Kelly each week to learn more about how the planets can align for you.
Hello, and welcome to The Astrology Show. I am your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox. And on tonight's show, I am going to be talking about the aspects and the elements of astrology. I have many people asking me, what are the aspects, what are the elements, which signs fall into which element, also which signs fall into which modality, and so on. So I thought I'd take a little step back tonight and just talk about some basics of astrology. And, you know, there is so much more to astrology than just sun signs. It's an ancient, complex mathematical system that tracks the movements of the planets in their orbit around the sun. So that's a bit of a mouthful, right? So it's not just sun signs that makes up, you know, what astrology is about. That is just the tiny, weeny tip of the iceberg. There is so much more to it, and it gets very complex very quickly. And astrology has been around for a very long time, that is for sure. So astrologers divide the zodiac signs into groupings. Just because there's 12 signs of the zodiac, and it's really hard to keep track of who's who and what's what. And so what astrologers do is they break the 12 signs into certain groupings. And one of the groupings is the elements, and the other is the modalities. And so that links certain signs together by specific characteristics. So it just makes it so much easier to learn what the signs are about and start from there. So with the elements, we've got four elements associated with the signs, and basically the elements are fire, earth, air, and water. So it's pretty easy to remember. And then, you know, because the natural world fits into these four classifications. And so, you know, there's basic characteristics of the elements. So you have the heat of fire, and there you have Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius, always on the go, can sometimes get a little bit heated. And then you've got the stability of Earth, and that's Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. And then you've got the changeability of the air. If you think about the winds and how, you know, the different direction of the winds and the change of the air. And then that the three signs that fall into the air category are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. And then finally, you have the fluidity of water, and that is Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. So that's how astrology, you know, it's the study of the natural cycles of our Earth or our solar system. And so it makes perfect sense to divide the signs of the zodiac into groupings or classifications that fit with the natural order of our world. So if you think about people, of any fire sign people that you might know, for example, and that's Aries, Leo, or Sagittarius, you know, if you think about them, you know, sometimes they can be a little bit hot-headed, but they're definitely warm-hearted. You know, in the earth signs, Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn, are quite practical and down-to-earth, and then the air signs, Gemini, Libra, Aquarius, are very intellectual or expressive. And then, of course, the water signs, Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces, are emotional and definitely intuitive. So that's a little bit of an overview of the elements and how the signs of the zodiac fall into each of those elements. And then from there, we have the qualities. So those qualities, they can be divided into three. We have cardinal, fixed, and mutable signs. Cardinal, fixed, and mutable signs. And so what the qualities are about, they speak to somebody's general attitude towards doing something. And so the cardinal, fixed, mutable is just a different category or classification to the elements. So the cardinal signs, which if you've been listening each week to the show, I've been talking about the cardinal signs a lot, but the cardinal signs, Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, so they're the initiators of the zodiac. Then there's the fixed signs, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. They're the ones that just keep things going, just see something through to the end, also known as stubborn on the flip side. And then you've got the mutable signs, and that's Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces. And they're the ones that really are quite flexible and go with the flow. And you might be thinking, well, I'm a Taurus, but I'm very much go with the flow. That may mean that you've got other planets in other signs that are more mutable than the fixed nature of Taurus. Now, the other part of the show I'm going to talk about are the aspects. And so what the aspects are about are the planets and how they interact with each other, either in someone's natal chart, in a compatibility, or even by transit. And transit means how the planets are influencing us at any given time. So aspects are a really essential part of interpreting a birth chart because they, you know, they describe the exact relationship between two or more planets. So it's a physical relationship that's very, very specific down to the degree. Because astrology is a mathematical system, so it's all about tracking the planets in their orbit around the sun. And so we know as astrologers at any given time where any planet will be, past, present, or future. So it's really crucial when planets hit the same degree, in a different sign, but the same degree. So that's really what we look at as astrologers, more than a planet in a specific sign. It's like it's very specific down to the degree. So an astrological chart is mapped out in a full circle of 360 degrees, which is a complete circle, and aspects occur when planets are 0 degrees apart, 30 degrees, 60 degrees, and so on. And I'm going to be covering each of the aspects a bit later on in the show. So I want to start with the elements and qualities of the zodiac, because that's like a really, that's sort of like the next step on. Once you know the signs of the zodiac, and that's Aries through Pisces, so the 12 signs of the zodiac, the next step is really to understand the elements and the qualities of the zodiac and each of the zodiac signs. That's most definitely an easy next step. It's also really good for compatibility because once you know what sign falls under which element, you know that fire signs are compatible, and then you know that fire and air signs are compatible, and then you've got earth and water, and those groupings of signs are compatible. So that's sort of like an easy sort of next step place to start. So as I said, astrologers divide the zodiac signs into groupings that link signs together by their specific characteristics. So So it just makes it so much easier to understand the nature of each sign, more so when you understand the categorization or the grouping that each sign falls into. And as I said, there's four elements associated with the signs of the zodiac, and that's fire, earth, air, and water. So it's the natural world fits into these four classifications. So it just makes it pretty straightforward to understand that astrology really is the study of our natural cycles and the rhythms and the influence that the planets have on us here on Earth. So if you think about the moon controls the tides and water on Earth, so the other planets have their categorizations as well. So the first element is the element of fire. And so if you think about fire and the nature of fire, so fire is like burning bright. It crackles with heat and energy. It moves really fast, and sometimes it can be hard to contain. So think about it from the perspective of, you know, our natural world and how these elements come into play. So fire can be very destructive if it's left to its own devices or it gets out of control. And if you think about the fire signs, Aries, Leo and Sagittarius, and if you are fortunate enough to have a fire sign in your life, you will know what I am talking about. The fire signs are very vital. They have a lot of vitality. Sometimes they can outshine the rest of us. And everything is immediate and intense for a fire sign. So just keep thinking back to the element of fire. And, you know, this rule applies to all the zodiac signs, where think about the glyph or the icon or the animal associated with each zodiac sign, and then you can get the characteristics from whatever is associated with each sign. So the elements, it's the same sort of thing. It's like you think of the fire signs, Aries, Leo, Sagittarius, and think of anybody in your life that's one of those signs, and think about how everything is always immediate and intense. So it's like the fire signs want to act fast on their impulse, you know, and there's always excitement and adventure around the fire signs. You know, they're always on the go, always off to the next adventure, you know, and they do lead pretty interesting lives. And it's pretty rare to find a fire sign that doesn't live on the edge, at least some of the time. So it's sort of like there's always action and adventure when it comes to a fire sign. You know, and they're pretty hot-blooded. They can be very passionate about certain things. But you know, think again, back to like a fire. It burns bright, but it can burn out really fast. And especially when you're pouring water on fire. So again, it's the compatibility element. It's like, think about a fire sign, and to put fire out, you would put water on that fire. So perhaps a water sign, Cancer, Scorpio or Pisces, might douse that fire. But if you think about an air sign, with a fire sign, and air is Gemini, Libra, Aquarius, air fuels the fire. So it's sort of like that's why they're grouped together as compatible signs. So fire signs will definitely keep you on your toes, and they just like fast-paced, high-energy types of activities and type of lifestyle. Now, next up, we've got the earth signs, and the earth signs are Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. So think about the earth. The earth beneath our feet, which holds us steady, solid. Earth signs are very dependable, and they like to lay a solid foundation on which to build on. So, you know, the earth signs are typically down to earth, practical, pragmatic, you know, serving as a rock in the circle of friends or family. And also the earth signs are connected to money. So any sort of investments or money, earth signs are very much connected to that. So they, earth signs are very, as I said, stable, solid, steady, practical. They don't fluctuate much. They're very even keel. And unless, of course, there's other factors involved, but I'm just strictly talking about the characteristics of each of the signs. So earth signs are very much about slow and steady, you know, winning the race. So they're able to put their nose to the grindstone, of course, when properly motivated or, let's just say, well paid to get the job done. So earth signs are typically concerned with value. So it's like not just monetary value, but sentimental value. You know, Taurus, for example, can get attached to people and possessions. Capricorn's a little bit less sentimental, more about the bottom line, and very good with money. All the earth signs, Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn, are very good with money or involved with the financial realm in some way. Virgo, of course, is very good with detail, and it's very sensible, very practical, and takes care of the small stuff that other people sort of would shun or not really think about. And so the earth, if you think about the earth and what goes with the earth, well, it's disconnected from the air because air and earth really don't need each other. But if you mix the water signs with the earth signs, and the water signs being Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces, water signs and earth signs are very good when it comes to compatibility. Now, next up, we've got the air signs. And the air signs are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. Even though Aquarius is the water bearer, it is actually an air sign. And I can't tell you how many people over the years have asked me about that sort of confusion. So Aquarius is definitely an air sign. So if you think about like phrases like winds of change, or, you know, just the whole air signs are quite, they're intellectual, but they're very, they can sort of see all sides of the situation, the three air signs. You know, they're very mercurial, lighthearted, fun, sometimes indecisive. They can change their mind in a split second. Oh, is that our break? Oh, okay, we're going to take a short break, so stay tuned and I will continue with the elements.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi there, welcome back to The Astrology Show. I am your host and astrologer Kelly Fox, talking about the elements and the aspects of astrology. So just before the break, I was talking about the elements, and we have fire, earth, air, and water. So each of the 12 zodiac signs is divided into different groups or groupings. And an easy, really great one to remember are the elements, because signs of the same element share similar characteristics or personality traits. So I was just talking about about the air signs, Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. And so they're very intellectual, they're very cerebral, always thinking, always talking. If you think about some air signs that you might know, they're witty, charming, they're fun, and, you know, they can be the life of the party. Of course, yes, fire signs as well. But air signs, they intellectualize, and they intellectualize their feelings. So, you know, and a lot of them don't get bogged down in the feeling or emotional realm. They're sort of moving on to the next interesting subject. And they can make some really great, clever, witty friends. You know, always ready for a laugh if you are around an air sign. And then finally, we have the water element, and that's Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. And, you know, if you've ever heard of the saying, still waters run deep, that describes the emotional depths of the water signs. And so, you know, the water signs typically are known as nurturers. They're sensitive to the fluctuations in their environment, and as well as within their loved ones. And they're very much sensitive. They're very psychic. They're very intuitive. They're caretakers. And if you think about Cancer, you know, Cancer will retreat into its shell when the going gets tough. So there's a lot of emotional depth around the water signs. You know, sometimes they might be passive aggressive when they're hurt or upset, feelings are hurt. But really it's like they very much want to take care of the people that they really care about. And Pisces as well. Pisces will take care of everybody. Pisces being the last sign of the zodiac is very much, has a global perspective where, you know, many Pisces, they're very charitable and compassionate and caring, but not just within their own backyard. It's very much, a lot of Pisces have very much a global compassion, I think is one way to say it. So there you have it, fire, earth, air, and water. So fire and air signs typically get on, and water and earth signs also get on. And that's just sort of like an easy little, it's an easy little method to think about compatibility. And then when I'm doing a reading and I'm looking at someone's chart and I see that they might have a lot of fire in their chart, so that tells me that the person's always on the go, they can be very impatient, they want things done immediately. Whereas you've got an earth sign, for example, who's very patient and practical, will plod along, not in a rush to get anything done, and so on. So the next lot of classification and grouping astrologers use are called qualities or modalities. Now, this is really interesting because it's a completely different type of grouping. It's a different way to group the 12 zodiac signs. So, you know, besides the four elements, we have three qualities that influence the signs, and that's cardinal, fixed, and mutable. And so, you know, the qualities sort of speak to a person's general attitude and the way that they tackle something in their lives. So the cardinal signs, Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, and if you notice that they are from each of the elements. So it's really quite fascinating because the qualities or the modalities, they take one one sign from each element, and then they group those together. So the cardinal signs, you've got Aries, the fire sign, Cancer, the water sign, Libra, the air sign, and Capricorn, the earth sign. And that's those four signs are grouped together, and they're known as the cardinal signs. And so, you know, they're self-starters. They gravitate towards leadership roles. They have drive, initiative. They know how to get something off the ground. But what they lack is follow through. And that's where the fixed signs come into play. So the fixed signs, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. And then you've got Taurus, the earth sign, Leo's fire, Scorpio's water, and Aquarius's air. So the fixed signs are very persistent. They're determined. They can see something through to the end. But as I said before, they can be stubborn and resistant to change. They do not like to deviate from the plan, that is for sure. So then you've got the mutable signs, and that's Gemini, Virgo, Sag, and Pisces. And they're very happy to be flexible, very different to the fixed signs. So, you know, Gemini is an air sign, Virgo, earth, Sag is a fire, and Pisces is water. And because they're very flexible, sometimes they can be known as wishy-washy, but they are known as the adapters of the zodiac. You know, the people who can follow a cardinal sign lead and then throw their weight behind, you know, the hard-working fixed sign. So the cardinal signs are the self-starters of the zodiac, and that's Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. And they're very good at leadership. They're like fearless leader in any situation. And it doesn't matter the environment, they will excel in a leadership role. And I'm not just talking in the boardroom. I'm talking on the soccer field, to their home or family environment. It's like, if you think about it, you know, because Aries is a cardinal fire sign. So, you know, they're the fearless warrior, whereas Cancer is the water, the cardinal water sign. So Cancer is all about home and family. Libra is about the intellect and, you know, socializing and social situations. And then, of course, Capricorn is the CEO of the zodiac. So, you know, the cardinal signs, they don't just sit around and endlessly dream up new ideas. They actually put the push on and turn ideas into reality. You know, they work well with someone who can be the idea person and then step back and, you know, let the mutable or the fixed signs take over and get the stuff done. So cardinal signs are very good at initiating, not so great at follow through. So if you're on a team in a work situation, it would be really good to know the qualities or modality of each of the person on your team. So just remember, the cardinal signs are really great for getting a project off the ground, not so great with follow through. Fixed signs, of course, are less resistant to change, and that's Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. So it's sort of like, if there's too much change for a fixed sign, they start getting nervous or irritable, not very good with lots of changes, not very whimsical, they're not wishy-washy, they're just like they want to stay the course and get it done. You know, and others might see that as stubbornness or being conservative, but it's actually a real strength to see something through to the end. And as I said, they don't like to deviate from the plan, so that can be a good thing or a bad thing, it just all depends. Some people might say that it inhibits spontaneity or creativity, but really it's all about commitment when it comes to a fixed sign. Perseverance, stability, commitment, they're sort of the key words that are associated with these signs. The mutable signs are the most flexible of the zodiac, and that's Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces. And they possess changeability. So it's like they go with the flow. They're not stuck in the mud. They're intellectually flexible. They can just take something and run with it and make it happen. And if they hit a brick wall, they're not opposed to changing course. I mean, that's the beauty of being a fixed sign. It's like they're ultra adaptable. You know, it can be a little bit inconsistent, a little bit wishy-washy according to the other signs, but it's like, no, there really is a high premium that should be placed on, you know, being flexible and adaptable, that is for sure. So I'm going to move on now to the aspects, because the aspects, It's pretty straightforward, but there's a lot of geometry and mathematics involved with astrology. A lot of people are sort of surprised to hear that. But, you know, astrology is an ancient mathematical system. So, you know, astrology is all about the study of the planets in their orbit around the sun. And from our perspective here on Earth, we view that through the filter or the lens of any one of the zodiac signs. It'll just depend on where you are in the world, and, you know, when in your lifetime you're actually viewing that, if that makes any sense at all. I'm going to try not to get too complex with this. So astrology is about the movement of the planets around the sun. So you also, astrologers also look at the relationship between the planets, and that gives yet another ingredient to the mix of astrology. And it gets, as I said, it will get complex pretty fast. So, for example, you've got the planets, the sun, the moon, all the way through Pluto. Yes, Pluto is still a planet, according to astrologers. And then an aspect really gives you the definition of how the planets interact with each other, depending on the angles that they're at from our perspective here on Earth. So an aspect is an essential part of interpreting a birth chart, because, you know, they describe the exact relationship between two or more planets. So, and I said in the very beginning of the show, it's like astrologers can get very specific right down to the degree. So it's really important to know exactly where the planet is at any given time. So we've got different groupings of aspects. So we've got favourable or soft aspects, known as sextiles and trines. You know, and they bring positive, beneficial influences. And then you've got hard aspects, which are squares and oppositions. And I use quincunxes, which could be classified as minor aspects, and they're known as hard aspects. And then, of course, you have a conjunction, which means two or more planets sitting next to each other. And, of course, conjunctions are the aspects that bring intensity and drama. The hard aspects bring challenges and tension and friction. So there's always something going on. That is the beauty of astrology. There's always something going on. And I find a lot of times there seems to be exceptions to rules. It's pretty black and white, really, once you understand the mechanics of what it's about. But, you know, sometimes, you know, there might be an exception here and there. The aspects, though, it's always very black and white. You know, it is what it is because it's all about math. It's calculating and measuring angles and interactions, I guess, is one way to say it. Now, there's also something with aspects. There's something known as an orb, O-R-B, orb. And that determines how far apart an aspect can be in terms of degrees. And again, I'm trying to keep the jargon out, and I'm trying to keep it like really straightforward. But as you can understand, right, it gets really complex really fast. So, you know, so an orb is like a measurement of, you know, how far apart two or more planets are. And so, you know, say, for example, two planets might be in opposition, which means, you know, they're 180 degrees apart. They're standing opposite each other. And that's typical of a full moon. So every month when I talk about the full moon of the month, it's always the sun and moon are opposite each other. And that's known as an opposition. And that has a meaning. And I'm going to cover all the meanings in a minute. But I just want to make sure that I get this explanation out about aspects and orbs. So it's like, you know, you have orbs. So a 10-degree orb is it's pretty wide to be of influence, but some astrologers do use wide orbs like 10 degrees apart. So in other words, you know, if you've got the sun and moon of a full moon, and, you know, the exact degree of that full moon might be 10 degrees, and so then, of course, the full moon will still be in effect, you know, when the moon moves on to the 19th degree, or it starts at, you know, the first degree. Some astrologers will say that's the effect of the full moon. I know it's really technical. I apologize. I hope this I'm making sense on some level, But I do get a lot of questions with people asking, you know, how to calculate, what is it about, and all that sort of thing. But of course, thankfully nowadays, there's so much information on the internet, and especially on my website, theastrologer.com, where you can find all the meanings. I've got a fantastic astro dictionary on my website, and you can look up lots of meanings for lots of things. So it's not too hard to find nowadays. So there's a lot of different degrees. A lot of different aspects. There's major aspects. There's minor aspects. I'm only going to cover the major aspects tonight, and that's typically what I only use in my readings anyway. So it's like there's so many things that can be incorporated, but it's best just to stick with the. Best just to stick with the meat and potatoes of astrology, because otherwise it just gets really complex really fast. So the first aspect that's the most obvious of all, it's called a conjunction. And a conjunction means that there's two or more planets that sit very close together, and within orb of 10 degrees. So they're almost on top of each other from our perspective here on Earth. They're usually most likely in the same sign, although you can have one planet at the end of one sign and then the next planet at the beginning of the following sign. And then that's still known as a conjunction, but technically it's an out-of-sign conjunction. So what happens with a conjunction is that there's very intense energy of the two planets or more that are involved with a conjunction. So it's like there's a lot of intensifying energy depending on the meaning of each of the planets. So conjunctions, a lot of astrologers consider conjunctions a hard aspect. I don't really. You just sort of have to take it as it goes. You have to be sort of mutable about it, because it just depends on the planets involved that form the hard or the soft aspect of a conjunction. So it's just about the interaction between the two planets. And so that's why I'd say there's always some sort of exception to the rule in astrology. And on that note, we will take a short break, so stay tuned.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking.
You are the inspired and the inspiration.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat?
Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi there. Welcome back to The Astrology Show. I am your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, talking about the aspects. I was going to say the elements. I've already talked about the elements. And so just before the break, I was talking about the aspects. And so what that basically is, it explains the interaction between two or more planets. keeping it very simple. And as I keep saying, astrology can get very complicated very quickly, much to many people's surprise, because it's so much more than just a sun sign. So before the break, I was talking about the conjunction. Now, the conjunction is very, very important. It's the most obvious of the aspects because it's basically two or more planets sitting next to each other. So it's always really easy to see. It's very intense energy, but of course, is it positive or negative? It will depend on the planets involved. So that's the exception to the aspect rule. You know, typically the other major aspects are either hard aspects or soft aspects, but the conjunction is sort of, it's all dependent. So a conjunction is, it's energy for sort of like a new moon. So in other words, it's like the beginning of the cycle. So you have two planets, and I'll use, say, Venus and Mars, for example. They sit next to each other, and then Venus is the inner planet, so it's going to move faster. And so it's going to move faster, and it's going to form from the conjunction. It will form, you know, 60 degrees away. It'll form a sextile. Then 90 degrees, it's a square. Then you've got 120, which is a trine, 180. And then that's the cycle. And then it's going to come back around in 18 months' time, and it's going to sit exactly at the same spot to form another conjunction with that Mars. So, well, actually not 18 months' time, because Mars will be moving as well. I'm just using an example if Mars was still, which it won't be. So so what that means is that it's going through, it starts its cycle at the conjunction, and then there's all different aspects that come about within that cycle. So, you know, something is born from a conjunction. I think that's probably the best way to say it. And so the start of new cycles always begin with the conjunction. So, you know, conjunctions are all about new beginnings. It's like the creation of something new by merging two different energies. So that's probably the best way to think about it. Now, the next major aspect is called a sextile. And a sextile means two or more planets are 60 degrees apart, or in other words, two signs apart. That's another sort of quick and handy formula when looking at aspects or memorizing the aspects and the relationship that the planets have with each other. A sextile, so a conjunction, is typically the same sign when two or more planets are in the same sign. And you've got the sextile, two or more planets in two signs apart. That's why it's like really important to learn the order of the signs of the zodiac and the elements, because again, you know, a sextile is not just two signs apart. It's typically two signs that are of compatible element. So, for example, you've got, say, Mars in Aries and Venus in Gemini. Well, you know that Aries is a fire sign, Gemini is an air sign, so fire and air get on. It's sort of like it's tied in together. It's sort of like layer upon layer upon layer. So a sextile occurs when two or more planets are 60 degrees or two signs apart, and it's considered a soft aspect. So that means that it's comfortable and beneficial. It's sort of like with a sextile, it's so easy that you might not even notice its influence in your life because everything sort of comes smoothly with a sextile. It's like sextiles bring opportunities and what might seem like good luck. And it's sort of like you don't have to work hard to get the result or the benefit of a sextile and also a trine. So, you know, when I'm doing my readings, it's like the sextiles and the trines are not really what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on the hard aspect, because that's really what creates the challenge, the challenges in people's lives. So it's sort of like, let me go straight to the hard aspects and also the conjunctions, and let me look and review that with the person I'm giving the reading for. I did have someone recently, what did they say? I don't always end it on a doom and gloom note, but I always end it on like this positive note. And of course, talk to someone about their incredible potential and you know, their trines and sextiles and the benefits that they're born into this lifetime with. But it's like it's the hard stuff that let's just cut to the chase, get to the hard stuff, tell me what the challenges are and how I can work through that. So the sextile is, you know, as I said, planets. It's an easy relationship between two or more planets. It's ease, it's opportunity, and it's really stuff we don't think that much about because it's sort of like, oh, that. Because, you know, sometimes within a reading, I'm looking at someone's chart and they've been blessed with this amazing skill or talent, or and they sort of like, oh, that thing, really? And it's like, yes, it's unusual and you've been blessed with this gift. And that's sort of what a sextile is about. So next up we've got a square. And a square is a hard aspect and it creates challenges, friction, tension. And it's when two or more planets are 90 degrees apart. And if you just think 90 degrees, you know, that's half of the square. So in when you look in the visual, it's a full proper square according to astrologers, but I'm just talking about the visual. 90 degrees, it means friction or tension. So so two or more planets right angles to each other, which means that you know, the energy of the planet, each of the planets is moving in a different direction. So it's sort of like, think about the visual of a square, and a square has sharp corners. And, you know, likes to box things in. And so a square in astrology, a square aspect is like feeling boxed into a corner. And it's sort of like, well, what do we do when we're boxed into a corner? It's either we stay that way, feeling tense and upset from the square aspect, or really what a lot of people do is whatever it takes to break away from the restrictive situation of a square. So it's like squares are, you know, I don't want to sound Pollyanna about this, but squares can be a blessing in disguise. It's like I wrote a book years and years ago, and it was called Stars of the Stars, and it was about famous people's charts. And so I took, I forget how many. It was a lot of famous people. Looked at their chart, and the thing that really surprised me was most of the famous people that we know had a ton of square aspects in their chart. And it was really surprising in one way, because you think, oh, famous people, they've had everything handed to them. But really, and this is people who have created their own success. I'm not talking about people that have had things handed to them through want of hereditary or, you know, I'm not talking about wealthy families that, you know, the money's passed down through generations. I'm talking about famous people that have made their own fame and fortune, typically have had a lot of squares from what I've seen. Squares mean that, as I just said, you're backed into a corner and you fight your way out, and then the through challenges that are thrown at you, and then it's sort of like, this is karma. This is like what you need to overcome this lifetime, and the rewards will be much greater than what they are with a trine or a sextile. So it's like, you know, squares are a hard aspect, and, you know, their influence can be very difficult. Don't get me wrong on that. But ultimately, they can be positive because the square forces change. You know, it might take an entire lifetime for someone to get beyond their square, but a square in your chart highlights an area in your life that demands change. So people with more squares are big on change. And if those people have a lot of fixed planets, the change comes in a difficult way. So, for example, if you've got Moon square Mercury in your chart, that would represent a basic conflict between, you know, affairs of the heart and the mind. And so it's sort of like there's going to be some tough situations thrown at you, let's say karma, that you need to sort of, you know, move beyond, understand and move beyond. So basically squares create opportunity for growth. Yes, growth, that word. So it's sort of like, again, with that aspect, it'd be like, it'd be hard work. You'd have to verbalize your feelings, I guess, with that type of aspect there. Next up, we have a trine. A trine is when two or more planets are 120 degrees apart and typically of the same element. And I forgot to say with the square, typically planets that are in square aspect are of the same quality or modality. So, for example, you've got Mars in Aries forming a square to Saturn in Capricorn. Aries and Capricorn are both cardinal signs. So it's interesting that they're grouped together, but they actually don't get on. They've got the same sort of characteristics, but they don't really get on with each other. Whereas a trine, it's typically two or more planets of the same element. So that's an easy one to remember, and it's a soft aspect. So it's two or more planets, 120 degrees apart. It's a soft aspect, so it brings positivity, and ease. Ease which seems effortless. So trines bring benefits, effortless accomplishments, opportunities that sort of fall right into your lap. So, and it's like with a trine, there's no special effort on your part to bring the rewards of a trine. And, sometimes on the flip side, it can be a little bit lazy because it's sort of like, oh, yeah, that. But it's like I didn't have to do anything to get, X, Y, Z. But really it's a gift. So trines and sextiles are gifts, whereas oppositions and squares are, I guess they're gifts. I was going to be funny, but I guess they're gifts as well, but in a very different sort of a way. So let me give you an example with a trine. So say a trine between the Sun and Mars in your chart, that would result in a strong sense of yourself and your goals as well. Whatever you wanted to pursue, it would sort of fall into your lap with no special effort. Whereas if it was like, the Sun and Mars in square to each other, there's challenges to overcome before the rewards, seemingly fall into your lap. So, trines bring charm, they're beneficial. But sometimes we become complacent with a trine because it's the gift I would have to say that keeps on giving, especially when it's being triggered by a transit. Next up we have a quincunx. Now that is not a major aspect, but I personally use it like a major aspect, and that's because I like to look at someone's karma when I'm giving a reading and see what lessons they need to overcome. And a quincunx is when two or more planets are 150 degrees apart, and a quincunx represents challenging and sort of mismatched influences, which are known as karma. And a quincunx brings opportunity for growth, and they can signify a challenge with little chance of growth, but it's sort of something that really, it's sort of mismatched energy that really some people struggle with. It's not, it's sort of subtle in some ways. It's not as obvious as a square, and especially not as obvious as an opposition, which I'll talk about in just a minute. So it's like two or more planets in elements and qualities that are just so mismatched. So it's interesting that sometimes when I do compatibility readings and I see the sun signs of the two people, and the sun signs are in quincunx aspect, which to me it's like straight away it's a karmic relationship. As soon as I see two sun signs in a quincunx aspect, I know definitely that these people have karma that they need to work through. And usually they seem like They're not such a great match on the surface, but somewhere they've just come together to work something out. So this quincunx aspect is when planets are five or seven signs, depending which way around the zodiac you're going, five or seven signs apart. Now, even that sounds sort of weird in itself. So it's like the different energies just don't know how to mix in a quincunx. And there's a lot of understanding that needs to come about when these two planets come together by this aspect. So it's like there's an obstacle or some sort of hurdle that needs to be overcome with a quincunx. And then finally, we have an opposition. Now, an opposition is a hard aspect. And if you think about a full moon, when the sun and moon are opposite, the sun and moon are in opposition every month with the full moon. So this can also apply to any two or more planets. So it's when two or more planets are 180 degrees apart, or on exact opposite sides of the chart wheel or the circle. So it's sort of probably obvious what this kind of energy means. It's sort of like two energies that are polarized, you know, black, white, good, bad, love, hate, that sort of thing. So, and, you know, like those sort of pairings, the two planets approach to the same question from different perspectives, if you think about it like that. But here's the other thing that most people don't realize is opposition means a reflection. So oppositions, just like a full moon, are typically about a big mirror. So especially with compatibility, you know, like, you know, it's just a big mirror that that's going on in the relationship. And, you know, a lot of times with an opposition, when you keep, and think about it like a seesaw, it's like you're always trying to find the balance. And then sometimes, you know, it'll be tipped one side or the other. And really the key or the trick is to just find that balance and stay balanced, you know, somewhere in the middle. Of course, that's easy for me to sit here and say that because, you know, I'm not standing on one end of the seesaw or the other. It's like finding the balance in the middle. And in some ways it's like a compromise, because compromise is basically taking two points of view or two different points and finding that midpoint or middle ground. And so that's sort of like how to work with the energy of an opposition. Oh, and on that note, saved by the end of the show, that's it from me. I am your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, and thanks for joining me. This is The Astrology Show, and be sure to tune in next week. Wishing you a great week.